It's a hot, bright day in mid-July at the Laidley Transit Mall in downtown Charleston, West Virginia. People talk and listen to music as buses pull in and out of the station. I'm on a bus with Matt Murphy today to talk with him about Universal Basic Income, or UBI.
My name is Matt Murphy, and I work as a commercial traffic manager for a commercial radio company here in West Virginia. We're a statewide radio company.
With basic income, U.S. adults would receive a monthly payment with no strings attached. Recipients decide how to spend the cash.
It's basically the money that you can count on to do the basic things that we need to do day in and day out in life. You can buy groceries. You can pay your electric bill. You can pay your water bill. It can help you to pay your rent.
In West Virginia, UBI hasn't gained any real political traction, but it's been covered in news reports as a way to help workers who have lost jobs due to the decline of the coal industry. Matt's story, though, shows that coal miners are not the only folks who need help. He just started his first full-time salaried job last year in his mid-30s, and he still struggles.
There's absolutely no way that I could afford to have an apartment with the bills associated with that, also to have a car, and to be able to eat and have any kind of extra enjoyment in life. I mean, there would just be no room in my budget to do anything.
And that was Matt's situation before the pandemic. He's still getting by, living with his grandmother, riding the bus. But his budget is tighter now after taking a 10% pay cut due to a furlough at work. Has the pandemic created space to take a basic income from idea to political reality?
It's an interesting moment for sure.
Carolyn West is an assistant professor of cultural studies at George Mason University in Virginia.
With the legislation that provided, even though it's temporary, that additional $600 per week on top of the state standard unemployment weekly maximum, I think we're seeing some kind of idea of what possibly a UBI could do. Of course, you're also seeing the political front saying, well, people are disincentivized to work. You know, it's always been asked to work.
For West, UBI is about putting choices into people's hands. That matters, she says, especially in places like the Appalachian coal fields.
What our system, you know, relies on are these big companies to kind of bring in their big dollars. I am much more interested in how people, you know, can create their own kind of initiatives.
But not everybody thinks UBI should come with no conditions.
You know, you are going somewhere to learn a trade. You know, that will give you that step up where you can be in a position to take care of yourself.
Reverend Roberta Smith is president of Charleston's Black Ministerial Alliance. She's worked with congregations throughout the Kanawha Valley of West Virginia since the early 90s. She thinks subsidies for training programs like college, trade school, and certifications should be part of the social safety net. But she also notes that a basic income would keep people from spending time going from place to place to get help with things like paying for utilities and food assistance, time they could spend doing other things, like looking for work.
We have a lot of governmental things that's going on and a lot of nonprofits that supply a lot of like food and utility assistance, but we could have that money, you know, like consistent, even if you could have it, you know, for a period.
For Reverend Smith, a basic income could be part of a broader social safety net in Appalachia to help people get out of poverty, but it's not a magic bullet. Todd Stafford, a PhD candidate in cultural studies at George Mason University, agrees.
How might we develop a social right to housing, a social right to health care, a social right to education, a social right to child care, that isn't predicated on just giving money to people and letting them spend it in the market?
Stafford also thinks Appalachia has lessons that should inform policymakers in the nation about that net.
Automation came to Appalachia real early. One possible way for us to look at that and take a lesson from it for the rest of the nation, we could be capturing some of that revenue and feeding it into something like a social wealth fund that would then fund social programs, whether that be a UBI or Medicare for All or housing or food or child care.
Back on the bus, Matt Murphy reflects on what a basic income could mean for the region and the nation.
Maybe it's just kind of growing up, we have that idea of the American dream, but to me, it seems like we should be able to not just work to live, but to actually be able to enjoy life a little bit. And unfortunately, there's just not enough income for a lot of us right now to be able to do that. It's just getting by money.
For folks like Matt in Appalachia and the nation, a basic income could be a tool that helps them do more than just get by. As a global pandemic pushes political leaders to issue stimulus payments and extend unemployment benefits, some say a basic income could be part of a logical next step. For 100 Days in Appalachia, I'm Laura Harbert Allen in Charleston, West Virginia.